Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Presented by Chafin Luhana, injury law firm doing good by doing right. Pony and Mueller on this Football Friday without the Steelers, shockingly, following that 48-37 drubbing. The score wasn't even indicative of the game. It wasn't that close. Tarred and feathered by the Browns, down 28-0. 28 points, most scored by a team in the first quarter of a playoff game. I mean, it was just an utter disaster. Mike Florio was working for NBC that night, Football Night in America, one of the best insiders in all of pro sports from ProFootballTalk.com. He joins us right now. Mike, do you think Ben Roethlisberger will be back with the Steelers next season?
I think it's all to be determined. With a new offensive coordinator, the Steelers have to ask themselves, depending upon the extent of the changes, do they want him back? And Ben has to ask himself, if I don't think there's a realistic chance that I get to do the Jerome Bettis, win the Super Bowl, and walk off into the sunset, do I want to come back? And there's a contractual issue that's buried in this. If Ben retires, technically he owes the Steelers $12.5 million in unearned bonus money. Presumably they wouldn't come after him, but we would have assumed that the Lions wouldn't go after Calvin Johnson for bonus money 5 years ago. But here's the thing to listen for. If Ben announces at some point, I've decided to return and honor my contract, that could be code for don't approach me about an extension that reduces my cap number below $41.25 million, i.e. you got to live with that $41.25, and the only way to avoid it is to cut me. And if they cut him, he doesn't owe them a single penny. I think it would be better to work that out behind the scenes where the Steelers wouldn't take any money from him if he decides he's done. But that's what I'm waiting to hear if that comes out. Anything along the lines of, I want to honor my contract as it is, that means good luck dealing with $41.25 million in cap charge for me in 2021, and then we see if they do or if they cut the cord.
Well, it seems like they can barely field a roster if they try to just go with things in 2021. And I would think, Mike, that the idea of extending him and having him play any more years and smoothing this out with a voidable year is completely off the table given the way things finished. So if what you're saying comes to pass, that could be ugly. My question for you is, how much do you think the franchise has learned or has the Polamalu situation, how that ended here, in their minds when they're thinking about how they want to deal with this?
Well, it's always better to move on from a guy 1 year too early instead of 1 year too late. But you also want to let a guy who's meant so much to the team dictate the terms of his exit. That's what the challenge is. And look, it's either 41.25 or 22.25. Mm-hmm. That's the minimum. If he retires, they're taking that hit. And if he stays with a new contract that would take the money he's due to make this year and convert as much of it as possible to a guaranteed payment and tack on three phony years. And we used that example in a story we wrote the other day.
Yeah, you did.
That would move the cap number to $26 million and change.
But they've never done that, right, Mike? I mean, that's what you were trying to say, that this would be, it happens in the NFL, but it would be a new precedent for the Steelers, correct?
Well, I mean, it would be, but sometimes situations require you to do something different, especially if the salary cap drops as low as $175 million due to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced it's going to do that, because I don't think the teams want to tie their hands and force themselves to cut veteran players and put a bunch of guys out there for teams like the Patriots who have a ton of cap space to go gobble up. So I think the cap will be closer to 195 than 175, but still, it's a major problem, and there's always a reckoning. And the question is, do you take the reckoning in the last year and take it all at once, or do you find a way to kick money into 2022 and take the reckoning then when the cap may be and likely will be higher than it is this year.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, is our guest here. Mike, when Mark Caboli, who covers the Steelers for The Athletic, writes something like, you know, Randy Fichtner getting fired or not having his contract renewed might be a passive-aggressive way for the Steelers to nudge Ben into retirement. You put credence into something like that?
Well, I think I do, and I think it makes sense. Look, if you're Ben Roethlisberger and you're thinking about coming back, you want to believe there's a chance that you're going to be successful. And throwing a new personality into the mix, throwing a new coordinator, changes to the offense. James Conner, where is he going to be? He's due to be a free agent. Juju Smith-Schuster, where is he going to be? He's due to be a free agent. So, you know, going through an offseason of change in what could be your last season, there's a certain point where you say, I'm too old for this crap. So I think in a weird sort of way, now I want to see who they hire. If they bring back Todd Haley, it's definitely a message to get the hell out. But I want to see who they hire.
You're saying that tongue-in-cheek, right, Mike?
Yeah, obviously.
Okay.
That's at one extreme, right?
Yep.
Bringing back Bruce Arians is at one extreme.
Yep.
Bringing back Todd Haley is at the other extreme.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be somewhere in between. But will it be closer to Arians or will it be closer to Haley? And while I mention Arians, let me say this. I don't think the Buccaneers are going to be looking for a quarterback next year. But I can't help but wonder whether at some level – Ben says Brett Favre finished his career somewhere else. Peyton Manning finished his career somewhere else. Tom Brady finished his career somewhere else. Phillip Rivers finished his career somewhere else. I'd like to finish my career somewhere else. I think that would be a huge mistake for him. But he has to at least tinker with that because there is this nagging sense out there, and I'm sure Ben feels it more than anyone, that he doesn't get the credit he deserves for what he's accomplished over the last 17 years, that there's always some other quarterback that people talk about. And the idea that, you know, if you can whip yourself up into a frenzy, they don't appreciate me, they don't respect me, I'm going to go somewhere else and I'm going to be beloved for a year or two and I'm going to try to win a Super Bowl there. I'd be shocked if it happens, but I wouldn't be shocked to know that in a quiet moment, it's at least crossed his mind and he's run through the analysis of what would be the pros and cons of trying to force his way to another team.
Yeah, if he's listening to me talk on this show, Mike, he probably does feel that kind of way. What appetite is there, if you had to guess, from the people you talk to around the league? Say Ben Roethlisberger does want to do what you're describing, finish his career elsewhere. Do you get the sense that there would be a lot of interested takers in the NFL?
I don't, because it's never even been something that's perceived as being on the table. And the thing about the NFL the past couple of years, and I think this is a byproduct of so many young quarterbacks who are clicking quickly in their careers when they're drafted,
mm-hmm.
There's more veteran quarterbacks available than ever before. So, you know, 5 years ago, if Ben was available in free agency or via trade or whatever they would end up doing to make this happen, that would be a huge, huge, huge deal. Last year, Tom Brady sucked all the oxygen out of the room, but there were a bunch of free agents available, and I think there'll be a bunch of them this year too, relative to what it used to be. It used to be there were never any, unless they were broken in some way. So, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, how broken is Ben? There were conflicting reports down the stretch about knee problems. He wasn't on the injury report, but CBS had something, and the NFL Network had something with knee issues and arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he did have knee problems, but he wasn't on the injury report because there was nothing they could do. Well, how do you treat arthritis if he's got arthritis? You don't spend time in the treatment room. There's no record of your getting any type of therapy, so you don't get mentioned on the injury report. That's the only way you thread that needle, and maybe that's the truth. He just got a chronic pain thing that they managed, but that they never had to disclose, because what do? You just fight through it.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, is with us. Mike, if, you know, however it comes to pass, if Ben is gone, do you think the Steelers really believe enough in Mason Rudolph to make him their starting quarterback next year?
Well, if they do, they're the only ones, right? I don't think the fans do. Now, he played well in Week 17, but that's just one game. That's a small sample size. We saw an extended opportunity in 2019
yep.
for him to rise to the occasion and grow into that job, and he didn't. So, and the new offensive coordinator will be a factor in that as well. Will they do things that he does well? How can they design the offense to suit his strengths? How can they design the offense to minimize his weaknesses? And Look, I just know this. I've been in and around Pittsburgh most of my life. It was a long 20 years between Bradshaw and Roethlisberger. And, yes, there were teams that were good and they were competitive and it was driven by defense. But there's a reason why there wasn't a Super Bowl between Bradshaw and Roethlisberger. It's because there wasn't a franchise quarterback between Bradshaw and Roethlisberger. So,
but that's not your way of saying they should bring him back next year, right, Mike, just to be...
No. Yeah. That's my way of saying you better have a plan or you're going to get left in the dust in the AFC North where there's Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and Joe Burrow. That's that. You can't wait 20 years to make your play for a first-round quarterback. Now, look, they were in great position to get Ben, and he fell down to them at number 11 in 2004, but you're going to have to possibly be more aggressive and more creative when it comes to the quarterback position. Or you are going to be behind the two Ohio teams. Who would have ever imagined the Steelers chronically being behind the two Ohio teams? But if you don't solve the quarterback position without Ben, that's where you're going to be.
Mike, I mean, when you just take a bird's eye view of this franchise, everything you just described there and everything that we're looking at with whatever the cap might be, I look at them as having a potentially very dark period ahead. So what from that 10,000 feet or closer, since you've spent most of your life around here, what do you see when you look at them?
Well, one of the things I've learned over the years, too, when you think the Steelers are down and out, they find a way to put it together and overachieve. And it's hard to say they underachieved this year, but the problem is when you start 11-0, even though you're winning games by the skin of your teeth, you create an expectation that you're not going to be one and done. And to have, what, two playoff wins in the last 10 years, is that what it is?
Three.
Super Bowl 45?
Three.
Well, but losing at home to the Jaguars in the divisional round and that loss to the Browns, that was every bit as ugly as 51-0 to start the 1989 season. That just isn't supposed to happen when the Steelers play the Browns. But I really do think that what happens next year is going to be critical to understanding where this team goes in the future and how much can they fix and change in 1 year. And you know as well as I do, when they struggle, when they don't perform up to the level that the fans want, there's a segment of the fan base that starts screaming for a new coach. And I don't know how many years it would take for Art Rooney to do it. You know, from time to time I hear that members of the limited partnership want Art Rooney to make a change, and he won't do it.
Are you hearing that now, Mike? To be fair, are you hearing any of that now?
I haven't heard that in a couple of years. I haven't gone looking for it, but it hasn't come to me either. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I hope isn't the reality for the Steelers, and if I was a Steelers fan, I would say let's not treat the fact that we've only had three coaches since 1969 as some sort of weird point of pride to the point where we're going to jeopardize our short-term interests as we wait for something to click. And look, I was a big advocate of Mike Tomlin in 2007, and I think it was the right move to give him the job. But I'm just saying that no coach should have some sort of a weird lifetime pass just because the Steelers love the fact that they're the only team that embraces stability and continuity, and would they want to make it three coaches in 100 years? I mean, what, you know, they don't give out trophies for that. It's a neat little facet of team building. And other teams aspire to do that, and it's easy to keep doing it as long as you're competitive. If you turn non-competitive, then it's going to be like it was back in the 60s where there's a revolving door at the front of the team facility, and they're going to be firing coaches left and right.
Mike, who do you think will be the offensive – give me some names. Have you heard any names on offensive coordinator that you've heard him and you said, oh, that makes sense? That's a guy that the Steelers might look at or go with in 2021.
I haven't heard any yet, and based on experience – hasn't it always been that it's Art Rooney that decides who the coordinator is going to be? Wasn't that the Todd Haley hire? It wasn't a Tomlin thing. And I saw Mark Cabola tweet yesterday, whoever it is, it's going to be somebody with some connection to Pittsburgh. I mean, I think the broader analysis is this. What do you want to be offensively? What do you envision? What is it you want to do? Do you want to run the ball? Because you did a crappy job, and I almost said a different word than crappy, of running the ball this year. Do you want to pass the ball? You surely don't want your offense to be run ineffectively and pass the ball 4 yards down the field and let the defensive backs know that it's open season, and that's why guys are dropping it, because they know they're getting blasted, because the defensive backs know that – I'm not making excuses for guys dropping
sure.
it. But when the defensive backs know that that's the plan –
Mike, I just feel like as long as Roethlisberger's here, it's going to be whatever offense he wants. If he wants to throw four-yard passes and get the ball out in 2 seconds, that's what he wants to do. That's what he's going to do. If he wants to run the ball nine times in a game.
Yeah, that he kept changing the play. And what do you do? What can you do? Bench him? So maybe they are ready to rip off the Band-Aid and move on.
I just don't know how they could get ahead. Why would an offensive coordinator want to come here and do something like that, Mike? That doesn't make it sound attractive to me.
Now, and here's another dynamic to keep in mind, and I don't think this applies in Pittsburgh because I think it's going to be multiple more years. I mean, they were still 11-5, right? 12-4. Still 12-4, so it wasn't a bad year. But, you know, I look at the situation in Minnesota where Gary Kubiak is likely to retire as the offensive coordinator. He's pushing for his son, Clint, to get the job. It probably is going to be Clint because Mike Zimmer's clearly in hot seat territory. So whoever the offensive coordinator is, he's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders because he's got to fix this offense or everybody's getting fired. And in Pittsburgh, it's not to that same degree. But to the extent that you're counted on to be the savior and kind of change a tire on a moving car with an offense that needs help at a lot of different positions, I mean, they've got great receivers because Kevin Colbert's been one of the best in league history at finding competent receivers, and some would say that has something to do with a quarterback who can help make receivers look better than they are. But, yeah, they got some tough decisions to make. They got some soul-searching to do, and they're going to have to decide, has the time come to separate from Ben Roethlisberger, whether he wants to come back or not, and what do you want the offense to be? And remember when they thought Bruce Arians was too close to Ben, and you know Ben was kind of out of control that way because Arians was catering to Ben.
Sure.
And, you know what they do? They got rid of Arians, and it worked. It was sort of, but I mean, you get a big picture, not really. It's not like they've been back to the Super Bowl since Arians, quote unquote, retired, but now may be the time to take that analysis one level higher and quote unquote retire the quarterback.
Mike, we love when we can get you on the show. We can't wait to watch you Saturday night. We wish it was the Steelers playing, but we'll take Bills and Ravens nonetheless, okay?
All right. Good talking to you, man.
You bet. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. I mean, all of that, I didn't hear really anything there. That
I was about to ask him straight away at the end, put on your Art Rooney hat. Are you cutting Ben Roethlisberger, yes or no? Probably should have.
I don't. Man, I just can't. That would be from them.
What, can we? Can I?
Such
so
a
Mike,
bold...
Mike Hinnett, I know. Hold on. It would be a hugely bold and unprecedented move in their way. Mike alluded to this. He sort of talked about, like, don't just be your consistent kind of slow-moving selves for the sake of it. You don't get trophies for having, like, and he was talking about the head coach. God, why are we talking about this like this is some sacred cow? Better quarterbacks who had just as much success as Ben Roethlisberger.
Peyton Manning got cut.
Have gotten cut or let go or had a split with their team. Why is Ben a sacred cow here?
But the difference, though, with Manning is that it was injury-based. With Ben, it would be performance-based, and that is something.
Ben's 1 year removed from an elbow injury.
I know. I mean,
a catastrophic
Chris,
one.
Look at how the Giants handled Eli Manning the last 2 or 3 years. It was borderline embarrassment. They put his feelings ahead of the betterment of the team.
And how? And you're a Giants fan by birth. How badly do you think that has hamstrung them for the future?
It's crippled them. But you know, they'll say we've got 2 Lombardi trophies in our lobby because of him. So it was worth it
great.
In the end.
Okay, the Steelers have 2 Lombardi trophies in their hallway partly because of James Harrison, too.
Right, but that gets back to what Rob Rossi is saying. If you kick the guy out the door, what kind of relationship are you going to have with him for the next 30 to 40 years of his life?
What does it matter? Did they struggle so badly on the field because Terry Bradshaw had a boo-boo on his feelings?
Mike Florio was on the fan hotline.
They got Ben Roethlisberger. Hold on. They got Ben Roethlisberger. They went to 3 Super Bowls. They won 2 of them. I mean, come on here with this. They went to a Super Bowl with Neil freaking O'Donnell. I don't care if the quarterback and the franchise don't have happy feelings. They don't have happy feelings with Troy right now, and all people's lives have gone on as planned.
Florio was brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall and Capitis. Congratulate Craig Riley for booking Mike Florio and being able to do that interview while frantically looking up Pirates player salaries for next year. He's keeping tabs on everyone. Josh Bell now in Washington, his arbitration number. Stephen Brault, Adam Frazier, you see that one, Craig? Ooh, Frazier, what'd he get? You see that number?
Too much. He's gone.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.